Welcome to another episode in the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name is Julia Saracini. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for improving dairy cattle health and welfare from a One Health perspective. As you've now come to hear, this channel features a number of different series, from animal care to biosecurity to research summaries and beyond. Our goal is to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. Ensuring good milk quality is a fundamental pillar of the Canadian dairy industry. Good quality milk maintains consumer trust in the dairy industry, leads to the production of good quality dairy products, and supports Canada as a global leader in food safety and dairy quality assurance. When we think about milk quality, the presence of bacteria and a high somatic cell count are common indicators that something isn't right. A tremendous amount of research has been done to investigate the influence of various factors on bacteria and somatic cell count. But how does the milking environment play a role? Automation and technology are becoming increasingly more common on dairy farms across the world. So how might this impact food safety? Are robotic milking systems more prone to bacterial contamination than others? Does the type of milking system impact milk quality? These are some of the questions that Canadian dairy researchers are looking to answer. Our next discussion is with Tara Wilson, a master's student at the University of Guelph, working with Dairy at Guelph Steering Committee members Dr. Giselle Lapointe and Dr. Mike Steele. Tara's work falls under a bigger project directed by Denis Waugh and co-directed by Evelyne Guillemot. Tara's research is focused on understanding how environmental factors at the farm and processing level can impact cheese quality and flavor. So let's jump in. All right. Hi, Tara. Thanks so much for coming onto the podcast. Welcome. It's great to have you today.
Hi. Thanks, Julia. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and introducing yourself to the podcast?
Yeah. So my name's Tara Wilson, and I'm currently a PhD student with the University of Guelph in the Food Science Department, and I work underneath Giselle Lapointe.
Awesome. How long have you been working with Giselle?
So I started my master's with her in 2021, and then I transferred just into my PhD from my master's just this summer. So we've been together for about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Can we start at a bit of a high level and have you tell us a bit about what the overall topic area is for your research? So what kind of problems are you trying to solve? What are the issues that you're trying to better understand through your research project?
So basically, we investigate biofilm accumulation in milking systems and how it can cause problems down the line. We all know that barns can kind of house a lot of areas where contamination can occur, but the traditional thought process leads a lot of people to think that once they do their regular cleaning, that the problems are solved, but that's not always the case due to biofilms. Biofilms are kind of the mechanism that bacteria have in order to protect themselves. It's almost like a shell that hides them from cleaners and allows them to stay in the system until it's safe to leave again. So we really look into that and how that plays into things like cheese production and other downstream just processes.
Traditionally, when we think about bacteria, we think about somatic cell count, and that's how we have been focused in terms of indicating milk quality. It's one of the most fundamental aspects, I feel like, that we talk about in terms of the dairy industry. So there's been a bunch of research focused on factors that influence somatic cell count and some other indicators of milk quality. How does what the research that you're doing, how does that fit into this topic?
So what we actually found is somatic cell count and BactoScan indications don't always tell the full story. So there's a lot of different bacteria, fungi, proteobacteria that won't always indicate a higher somatic cell or BactoScan, but they can be issues in downstream production or the accumulation of biofilms that spend months getting larger and larger until suddenly it's a huge problem rather than a smaller one that could have been fixed earlier. But with these indicators, we don't always see those issues earlier on, which relates to our research in terms of trying to find out what areas are of most concern on a farm.
Can you dissect a little bit more kind of the differences in automated systems versus traditional systems and what might make them have more issues or more prone instances of having bacteria? I'm thinking more about like cleaning consistency or cleaning frequency and consistency of having milk running through systems, differences in pipe length. aspects like that that might differ between the two systems that would be important indicators of how things might be easier or more difficult to clean or disinfect in between uses.
Yeah, really everything varies. Automated farms are really left up to the machines. If there's an issue that happens within the system, but it doesn't trigger an alarm, it can wreak havoc. Simple things like a control arm going down or not meeting properly with milking cup cleaners, in turn can cause issues with the rest of the system and biofilm growth. But on the other hand, tie stall operations are usually left up to the farmer for regimented cleaning. So biofilms can really form anywhere and very quickly, leaving long-lasting problems when not taken care of properly.
Yeah, and when you talk about biofilms and how they can form really anywhere or through any type of bacteria, where would you say the bacteria is coming from? If I'm, you know, a producer trying to do my best to keep my milking system clean, where exactly might these bacteria be originating from and creating biofilms in my milking system?
It really depends. Some of them are definitely environmental. So we've seen it before in bedding materials and everything else like that. And then some of them are just, they just come in through tap water or really anything that can grow bacteria. Like we have fungi and everything that can grow on a piece of paper. So it's hard to pinpoint an area where it can be coming from. It's just, it's really everywhere. And once they're kind of in, they can travel wherever they want, depending on the growth conditions and everything else. So it's just, it's extremely hard to pinpoint one area.
And so if we think about maybe surfaces that are more or less prone to bacteria growth, do you have any comments there in terms of maybe if there are certain types of surfaces that would be more prone to growing biofilms compared to other surfaces or different, you know, types or temperatures, factors like that, that might make things a little bit more prone to bacterial growth than other?
Yeah, for sure. There's some of the main players, like obviously plate coolers and everything else like that, have to be in good working order. As soon as milk kind of goes above its threshold, and if it sits there for too long, then bacteria growth can really, really explode with that. Some of the things throughout the milking system, we find a lot of times stuff like rubber gaskets and everything else like that, they play a huge role. Because as soon as there's cracking in a system like that, it just allows for little areas of growth for these bacteria that isn't necessarily washed away, no matter how regimented your cleaning is. So anything stainless steel is usually pretty good. We don't see a lot of growth on that.
Right. And if we're thinking about maybe potential podcast listeners here as Canadian dairy farmers or just members of the Canadian dairy industry, what would you say are the implications of this kind of an issue? Why should our listeners really care and be conscious of bacteria and biofilm growth?
Anytime there's a problem with milk quality, the dairy industries and the farmers who comprise of the industry are affected. Since biofilms are really everywhere, they can cause long-term contamination, and their mitigation should be on the front of everyone's thoughts. Again, it's terrible that potentially when one thing happens, like a cleaning arm going down, that suddenly you are dealing with problems in milk quality for a month after that. The better we can kind of understand biofilms in the milking environment, especially when they are most prominent in automated and traditional environments, the better we are able to quickly address the issues with quality and get farmers back up and running with their good quality products.
When you say understand biofilms a little bit more, are you talking about the components in biofilms, what makes up a biofilm, or how they interact with the environment, or kind of a combination of all of those questions? What are really the things that we're still trying to understand about biofilms and how they impact milk quality?
I think one of the main things is they're not always solved with just a quick clean or anything else like that. Like some of them can take housing, and even with like an acid wash or anything else like that, they still kind of remain. So just generally knowing that they accumulate, and basically as long as we're feeding them nutrients and everything else like that, they'll continue to kind of be there. It's just, people just need to understand that they are there, and they just have to be mindful of, you know, oh, well, I've had my rubber gaskets in for 6 months. You know, I'm noticing some cracking and everything else like that. Maybe it's time to take a look at changing them. And just little things on like knowing a little bit more about bacteria and how it can affect everything makes huge bounds in what we are able to accomplish with milk quality.
That's great. So if we think about kind of diving to this a little bit deeper and talking about your specific research and your specific research questions, talk to me about what the actual question that you are tackling with this project is.
So really, we knew that, again, biofilms could kind of form anywhere, but we wanted to go in and try to find out where the areas of concern were in terms of the milking system to see if we could kind of initiate a little bit different cleaning or a different regimen sort of thing. If we knew the areas of concern, we kind of wanted to figure out what was causing it and where they were more than likely kind of hiding in it, which led to our project. And we specifically kind of looked at a robotic versus a tie stall just to see if there was any differences in the main areas or anything else like that.
That's great. So you're looking at differences between one tie stall and one robotic farm and comparing that to a control to kind of see differences in bacteria and biofilm growth. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Great. So can you walk me through that a little bit more? So what are kind of the steps that you've taken to answer your question about how maybe automated milking systems or differences in farm systems impact milk quality and bacteria growth? What were the methods that you took to address this question?
So for us, we went right on farm and right to the source, and we used it sort of as a diagnostic test. At that point, I'd been working for a few months with a tie stall operation that had no concerns of milk quality. And we were doing swabbing of 15 different areas biweekly after cleaning. So we used that as our control of what we could expect from a, you know, quote unquote, clean farm. These swabs were taken from the beginning of the process at milking cups and all the way through the milking system and in pipelines, finally ending in the bulk tank and a raw milk sample. So the first farm we looked at for a diagnostic test was another tie stall, but with a BactoScan putting them into the danger zone. And again, here we swabbed all the same areas and were able to compare them to our control. And then we also did this with our second farm, which was a robotic farm. So we took areas which were close to our control and compared them as well. And for all the farms, we focused mainly on microbial techniques of plating, but we also completed DNA techniques. So we would have all of our bases covered and we would be able to tell where the most contaminated areas were.
And what were some of the areas that you swapped? What did you think would be either some of the most contaminated or least contaminated areas? And why did you select those to take your samples from?
So we tried to do it in a systematic sort of order. So we started right with teat cups and then again went all the way through the milking system because these biofilms, they can attach earlier on in the system and then eventually kind of let go and reattach somewhere else. So if you think of kind of the flow through, for example, a tie stall, when you're getting to the end of your pipeline, you wouldn't really expect there to be anything there, but we found that in some areas there were, especially downstream and everything else like that. So it was more of a systematic approach that we tried to take just to really cover all the bases and be able to cover through the whole system.
Yeah, and you mentioned that biofilms can detach and reattach. Can you give a little bit more detail about, for our listeners listening in here, about what specifically a biofilm is and how they can imagine that kind of working through their milking system?
Yeah, so a biofilm is more of a protective layer that bacteria can put up. So when conditions become not ideal anymore for growth, bacteria can adhere to certain surfaces and almost throw up a little shell over top of itself until conditions become ideal again and it can start moving through the system again. So you might have a bacteria that is able to form a biofilm and it's really early in the system. It's still within sort of the milking system. It might be in the distal malcos, for example. And you go through your first cleaning process and it puts up a little bit of a shell. So the cleaning process doesn't necessarily take it away. And then when milk starts flowing through it again, it's got the nutrients that it wants and the conditions that are ideal for it. So it moves a little bit more down the system until the next cleaning goes through. And then it puts up another shield and everything else like that until eventually it can make its way all the way into the bulk tank and stay with the raw milk. It sometimes they adhere and they stay within the system and just give little pieces of bacteria throughout, which obviously affects your milk quality, or sometimes they can let loose and just totally end up in the milk. And that's usually when we start to see high indications because it really throws them off.
Right. I think that's a really good visual to think about how the process can be starting at the beginning of kind of the milking process, but kind of carry through all the way to the end or start somewhere in the middle, and kind of highlights the importance of why understanding this a little bit better is so critical and really impacts Canadian dairy farmers, but also the Canadian dairy industry going forward. You touched on it a little bit so far in terms of what you found, and I know that this research is still ongoing and there's still more chapters to follow. And what we've done so far has been kind of diagnostic testing. But can you tell us a little bit about what you learned from your initial diagnostic testing on these few farms, and walk us through those results a little bit?
Yeah. So with this being a smaller scale diagnostic test, it's hard to really make assumptions. But we know one thing is for sure, and biofilms are capable of attaching anywhere and causing issues to the whole system. What we found on the robotic farm was a small mishap with a cleaning mechanism sent bacteria flying through the entire system, and it made its home in receiver jars. Whereas the Tiestall farm, the cleaning system was fine, but a small sprayer ball in the bulk tank was not sending enough pressure to reach the top of the walls. And that's where a majority of the problems took place. So the main take-home message here is just robotic and traditional operations are both subject to biofilm accumulation. It's just where and how much can really vary between the farms.
And can you talk a little bit more? I mean, that's a pretty intimidating thought that bacteria can show up anywhere, that maybe one small mishap about, cleaning processes can impact milk quality, and that can be very impactful on milk quality towards the end, no matter where these biofilms originate from and how they travel through. Can you talk to us a little bit more about maybe some signs that producers can think about when they are milking to identify if there are issues, where they can kind of intervene earlier to prevent these issues from happening, and a little bit more about the experience of those farms that you looked at and how the issues that they had on farm really had some impact on their milk quality?
For sure. So in terms of what you can look for, always just being mindful of kind of how your farm looks on a good day sort of thing. Obviously, if you're seeing any issues or any cow issues, that needs to be addressed early on. If you're looking at a piece of machinery and you can see obviously that it is dirty, it's time for a good rinse. Sometimes in bulk tanks, it's really hard to kind of tell dirty away from like mineral deposits and everything else like that. But just kind of erring on the side of caution, you know, if it doesn't really look clean enough to eat off of, then it's probably time for a clean. In terms of what we saw with these diagnostic farms, we really went in as more of a helping aid. They had tried a lot of different things in terms of a lot of different cleaning and everything else like that, and just weren't really sure what to do. When you start to go into the danger zone and everything with milk quality, usually a representative will come to you and give you some suggestions and everything else like that. And that's really where we just came in, because we were kind of out of suggestions, and what we normally did for cleaning and everything else like that wasn't working. So that's where we stepped in, and we were able to find little things like the sprayer ball, for example. Nobody really thinks to check that, but you know, for us, it was something that we looked at to take a swab of, and it managed to be part of their problem. So it's just being mindful of your farm, really. And obviously, you know your farm best and everything else like that. So just always keeping a careful eye on it.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, we talk about the impact of milk quality because we all know it's important. But I'm maybe wondering if you can talk to us a little bit more about how biofilms impact things like cheese making or milk spoilage, and why it is so important to have that high quality milk that we're producing across all of our farms across Canada.
Whenever you have good milk, it's obviously reflected in your downstream. Milk itself is full of nutrients and a huge microbiota that really impacts cheese and all its downstream applications and everything else like that. So there's a lot of things that treatments like pasteurization and everything take care of in terms of microbial wise, but there's some bacteria and everything else like that that it's just not capable of working through. There's bacteria that love heat. There's bacteria that love cold. So just having a high milk quality starting from the very beginning is so important for everything that it's used for.
And what do you think the implications of your work would be for Canadian dairy farmers and other key industry stakeholders that we're seeing, whether they are cheesemaking plants or consumers? Why is it important to study what you're studying?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, dairy farmers are the most likely to notice that they're having an issue with milk quality when there are high bacto scans prior to transport, but it's almost impossible to tell what's causing a high result when there's no obvious herd problems or cleaning problems, really. And this is why what we do, like the environmental diagnostics, are so important. The longer bacteria can house themselves in systems, the larger and more dangerous they become. So if we can kind of figure out what the main areas are that we need to watch for, then it makes everybody's lives a whole lot easier.
And what's next for you? So you mentioned that the initial testing that we've done so far, or that you've done so far, has been diagnostic tests, and there's still more to know. So where do you go from here? What are the next steps for you and your research?
Yeah, so we actually have an ongoing project going on right now that looks really into how biofilms and contamination can affect downstream processes like cheese. So we're specifically looking at artisanal cheese and testing both the farm and the processing environment to see exactly how far these biofilms can travel and its impact. So the more we are able to know about these common biofilms in dairy, the more prepared we can be to mitigate them.
That's great. That sounds really interesting. We're definitely looking forward to hearing the results of that next step. And so I guess kind of my last question for you here is that, based on your work and what you know today, and maybe some things that you have researched on your own and the current results that you have, what would be some pieces of advice that you'd like to leave for our listeners? Anything, final messages or key thoughts that you'd like to share with them before we close up here?
Yeah, I think my main take-home message is just all the farmers out there know their farms best, and you just have to be mindful of them. If you're having issues with milk quality or cleaning, please reach out to your field service representatives and they can give you advice. Biofilms are such a hard thing to deal with, and cleaning is extremely important, and the right cleaning techniques are even harder to master. And the more we kind of figure out, the more we're able to tell the industry on what we think the next step should be and how to mitigate.
Well, thanks so much, Tara. It's been great to have you on. Knowing that you still have work to go and that you have some results already, where can our listeners go to get some more information about you and your work?
For more about what I'm doing, please feel free to email me at any time. My email is just twilso17@uofguelph.ca, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions. Me and my supervisor are usually very good about trying to help out everybody.
That's awesome. So twilso17@uoguelph.ca for any future questions. Thanks so much, Tara. It's been great to have you on.
Yes, thank you for having me. I loved doing this.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. For more information, please visit dairyfarmersofcanada.ca/en/dairy-research. This podcast was narrated by myself, Julia Saracini, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. This project is part of Dairy Research Cluster 3, a national research funding program made possible by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's AgriScience Clusters program, Dairy Farmers of Canada, Lactinet, and Novolet.